And start. We're going to start with Matthew 13, and we're going to begin with verse 18 through 23. You there? Say amen. All right, it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come the wicked one and catches away which what is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it, and he have not root in himself, but it dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arise, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and careth for the world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed under good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, and beareth fruit, and bringeth forth the same 160 and some 30. Now let's pray over the word, but as I'm praying, I want you to pray over the word too, and I want you to ask God to allow you to receive what he would want you to receive this morning. So as I'm praying, I want you to pray over the word too. Amen. Dear God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we just bind all hindrances and distractions and spirit that's not of you. And God, we just ask that you just open the hearts and eyes and ears of the people here today to receive the word on good ground. And God, we just ask that you place your anointing upon this word and upon me. And God, we just ask that I speak only your words, Heavenly Father, not my own. And God, we just bind any distraction or spirit that's not of you. In Jesus' name, we loose your Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. All right, this morning I'm going to ask you a question. And what I'm asking you this morning is, how do you receive the Word of God? How do you receive it? Okay? And when we go over this, I want you to ask yourself, is that me? Is that how I receive it? Is that applied to me in my life? And the first one, he says, "Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away what is sown in his heart. This is received the seed by the wayside." So as soon as he comes to church, he or she, and they hear the word of God, they don't understand it. Then it says that the devil, the wicked one, he comes in and he takes away, he catches what was sown in the heart. And then that seed just fell by the wayside. So your heart, I want you to look at your heart as the ground, okay? And if your heart, the seed falls on good ground, then it's going to take root. This one, it just landed on the heart, and the devil turned around, and they said, "Well, I didn't understand the word." So the devil to hurry up, and he comes in real quick, and he snatches it. And that's the reason why some people, when you bring them to church, they don't understand, and they don't comprehend. And you're like, "Man, did you not get that?" And you're like, "No, I'm sorry, I didn't." Well, immediately the devil comes in and snatches the word of God. Another thing, somebody could say they understand it, but the devil comes in and places their mind to thinking about things on the outside of church. What's going to happen after church? What's going to happen throughout the week? What's going to happen at work? What's going to happen with the home? What's going to happen with the children? What's going to happen with our finances, our bills? And even in the church, the devil is there trying to rob you of getting and receiving what God has for you. And it's crazy, it's because you're only here for an hour, and yet the devil is still trying to snatch the word from you so you can't receive it. You understand? Then let's go to the next one. It says, "But he that receiveth seed on the stony places, the same as he that receiveth, the same as heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it, and not root in itself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, and by it he is offended." Okay, so now people come and they hear the word of God and they receive it, but it says it's on stony places. So he hears the word and he received it with joy, and or she received it with joy, and they're like, "Man, that was some good word. Man, I love it." But then all of a sudden, the minute that they become offended, you know, it's like, you ever notice when you go to preach or teach somebody, or you want to tell them about Jesus, how some people get scared and they don't want to share their testimony, how they get around other people and other people want to used the name of God, profanities and nastiness and wickedness. And now that it takes a stand for God and you have to say, hey, I don't accept that. Now you have to take up for God, and instead you become offended and you're like, man, I don't want to say nothing. God give you a word for that person, and then people will say, well, I don't want to tell them because I'm not a preacher. God will give you the word to tell them, and you say, well, they're not going to receive it anyway, so what's the sense of me telling them? God gives you a word for that people. Did you know inside your work environment is the most place that people should actually see you shining for God? That is a perfect, that's like a harvest. That is your light. That's your light on a lighthouse on a hill. And when people see you, they should see Jesus Christ. But when people feel offended for the Word of God, they hide their light under a bushel. But everybody, that is a prime opportunity for you to allow God to radiate out of you. And when people see you, they should literally see Jesus Christ in you. And people should have so much love and respect for you, even if they don't care about serving God, that when they see you, they see the holiness that's on you. And they say, you know what? I'm not going to say these type of profanities around them. Not because I fear their God, not because I serve their God, but because I see how much they love their God, how much they respect their God, and I don't want to be an offense to them. What happens is people, though, it says they are offended by it, and they have tribulation and persecution, and as soon as somebody knows they're going to be persecuted for being a Christian, or made fun of, or teased, or told, yeah, you're some kind of Christian, and they feel persecuted, it says that Word of God just disappears, and they just hide it underneath the bushel. And instead of people seeing your testimony, what tends to happen is those people tend to become part of the world. And with that being said, now they are participating in the conversations that they have no business participating in. They're listening to the conversations that they have no business listening to. They are partaking of things of the world, and now instead of them being a light to shine for the darkness, now darkness has came in and taken the word out of them. And before too long, now they don't even realize it, but now they have become so much a part of the world, the jokes that these people that are saying that were once offensive, now they are laughing and they are partaking of them. Did you hear what I said? And now there's no more persecution for the Word of God. And it's the same way for you youth that are in school. When people, you don't want to stand up for God and say, hey, I'm a Christian, that offends me, because you're scared people's going to make fun of you. You see, and we expect our children to do these things in school and say, hey, you need to stand up for God. You don't need to be around that. That's nasty. That's trash. You don't need to be taking part in that. That's garbage. That's going to steal your peace. But then yet when they turn around and see you do the same things in your home or in your workplace, how is it can you preach to your children when they hear you partaking of that same language or that same profanities, or they hear of you partaking of those same actions in your workplace? How do you expect them to be a light to shine for God inside their workplace? You understand what I'm saying? You are the light that shines not only in your home, but also in your work. And your children will mimic you, and some of them will even mimic your hypocrisies when it comes to serving God. Because they've been trained to know that, hey, just go to church and praise the Lord. But then when you leave church, you don't have to suffer the tribulation or the persecution. And the reason why is because it says there's no root in that person. There's no root. So in other words, the seed took, but there's not no root, so they don't have any growth. So the minute that they get persecuted, instead of saying, hey, that offends me, I'm a child of God, I don't want to partake in that conversation, I don't want to partake in that type of language, it should offend you to the point that when somebody uses any type of cuss word, it should be like nails on a chalkboard, somebody just going, you know, it should offend you that bad, because you should have so much Jesus inside of you that it makes you feel like, just, hey, man, I do not care to be around that. I don't care to hear that. I don't care to listen to that. I don't care to be a part of that. I don't care where you work at. There is no excuse for that. But when you have to take a stand, and when you don't take that stand for God, the Word of God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So whether you're at the bingo hall, whether you're at the veterans club, whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're at the restaurant, anywhere you're at, you are supposed to be a light that shines for Jesus. Just because you're not the pastor, that is the most weak, watered down excuse there is. You are a minister for God. Your job is, when you come here, is to hear the Word of God, and then you are to take that Word of God and you're to go give it to other people, and you're supposed to tell them what you've learned. Okay? You are to be ministers to everyone out there, and then that's how churches get fools, because people see you and your walk and then they begin to grow. If they see you partaking in gossip, if they see you partaking in nasty conversations, if they see you partaking in worldly affairs, and then you say, well, I go to church at Jesus Died For You Ministry, why would they want to come to church with you? If you're a preacher, a teacher, somebody that cleans the church, if you have, Robert, you play the music, if you're somebody, Jason, you're over all the whole building maintenance, if you're somebody that actually even has a pastor's family on the front row, you guys are representing Jesus in such a way. Youth ministers, you guys, people are looking at you. That's the biggest, nastiest, you can do the biggest disrespect to God by carrying a title and then going out in the world and not representing it. That is like going up into Jesus' face and spitting in His face. Because I know there's churches that allow that to happen. They allow their youth pastors to take part in churches, and then they're out there participating in nasty rap music and dance clubs, and that is of the world. That is not of God. That is disrespect. You understand? People, they don't want to suffer persecution and tribulation because they don't want to be made fun of for serving God. And somehow or another, the devil has deceived people to think, well, I'll just be quiet and then I won't share. But as long as I'm serving God, it's really none of my business what everybody else is doing. Let me tell you something, church. It is your business. The minute that they are bringing it to you, either they're preaching to you or you're going to be preaching to them. One or two ways. That's all it is. It doesn't matter. Either you're going to listen to the devil preach to you, and you're going to hear their profanities and their gossip and their backbiting and their nastiness and their wickedness, and you're going to partake in that conversation, or your conversation is going to be about Jesus Christ, and they're going to know, hey, I can't go around you because all you do is talk about God, and it drives me crazy. Well, then stay away from me. Okay? And if you get persecuted and you get made fun of and you get teased and you get ridiculed for serving God, then you need to rejoice, because that shows that you got some root down in you. And it's like, you know what? I refuse to be ashamed of my Jesus. I refuse to partake in them conversations. I refuse to carry a title and not represent it. I just don't. I'm a child of God. I come to church. I serve God in spirit and in truth. It's not about this world. I don't care about this world, which brings us to the next one. The next one, it says, he receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and careth for what? The world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becometh what? Unfruitful. So people can come to hear the Word of God, and they can say, well, I'll suffer the persecution. I'll stand up for God. I'll represent Jesus. I'll do what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. But their mind is truly set on what? On this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So they're trying to serve God and what? And money. And they're more worried about having things of the world and receiving things of the world than they are receiving things of God's kingdom. Where your heart is, there's where your treasure lies as well. So if your heart is on this world and on money, guess what? It's going to make you a selfish, greedy individual who only thinks about themselves, and their only thing is about how to make them better so they can receive more and more and more and more. And guess what? The deceitfulness of this world has choked you out. I will promise you this. There's not enough money. There's not enough materialistic things. There's not enough men, enough women. There's not enough anything in this world that's ever going to bring you true happiness the way God brings. I don't care what you can attain. You can attain the whole entire world and lose your soul, and you will not have a bit of peace. And people have got that mixed up with church and the world, and they think that this is what it's supposed to be like. And God says, you know, we're supposed to come out of the world and be separate. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with God, as long as it's God that has made you rich. As long as God has prospered you. As long as God has given to you. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you set your heart on those things and you go to pursuing those things instead of pursuing God, or you serve God just because you want those things, then your heart is not in the right place. And guess what? It's choked out the word that's in you, and you have become unfruitful. Unfruitful. So we've got three things here. We got those that don't understand the word, and the devil comes and steals it. We got those that it fell on stony ground, and the minute that they have to stand up for God, they get ashamed of Jesus, and they won't suffer the persecution or the tribulation, and they won't stand up for God in the workplace or in their home or around their family or anywhere else because they don't want to suffer the persecution. So there is no word there. And then you got those that are just so greedy that all they think about is themselves and how they can have a good life and a rich life and have an easy life, that the only reason why they serve God is because they're too scared that God's going to punish them and they're going to lose their blessings, and that's the only reason why they care to serve God. Guess what? You're never going to be blessed anyway, because God sees your heart and He knows that it's not for Him, and you're only serving Him because of what He can give you. And it says that kind is getting choked out. And it says it's unfruitful. You know, God knows all, sees all, and hears all. And here's the thing. We had us on Wednesday night, why do you serve God? And somebody says, well, I serve God because I don't want to go to hell. And somebody else said, well, I serve God because He gives me peace. Well, I serve God because I don't want to be who I used to be. The truth of it matter is, I've asked myself, Loopy, why do you serve God? And I serve God because I love Him. I serve God because I don't want to hurt Him. I serve God because I want to make Him proud of me. I serve God because I care about His feelings more than I do my own. I serve God because I am so much in love with Jesus that I do not want to have a dirty conscience, and I don't want to live with myself if my mind is not clean and pure and holy and I'm not serving Him in spirit and in truth. Because I'm telling you now, serving God for hell, that's only going to scare you for a little while. I can preach hell, fire, and brimstone, and that'll scare you through Sunday, but Monday you're going to go back to sinning. And I can say, well, we serve God for peace, and I'm glad for the peace. But guess what? There's going to be time when we get persecuted and we go through tribulations where I promise you, you're not going to have that peace. And if you ain't careful, you'll fall by the wayside. And when you lose your peace, you'll stop serving God. You've got to learn how to serve God when there is no peace. When you do go through trials, when you do go through persecutions, and when you do go through hard times, and when you do go through struggles and you don't understand what's going on, you still got to serve God, because you say, you know what? I love Him anyway. I love Him when I'm in the mountaintop. I love Him when I'm down in the valley. I love Him anyway. I trust in God. You have to serve Him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't do no good to come to church and hear the Word of God and then not apply it to your life. Amen. Some people, the reason why they don't receive the Word of God, we got these three reasons, but there's another reason why, is because they're too busy looking at the messenger instead of the message. And that's very dangerous. Let's go over to Acts chapter 27. This is Paul. He was warning them. Amen. Look at Acts 27. We're going to start with verse 9. Are you there? Say amen. It says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast had now already passed, Paul admonished them. That means he warned them. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things which were spoken of Paul. So Paul was getting ready to be transported as a prisoner to go and see, to be transported as a prisoner on this ship. And he warns them and he tells them, he says, look, if we take this ship, it's going to bring hurt and a lot of damage, not only to the ship, but it could also be to our lives. You understand that? He's a man of God. But instead, when they looked at him, they looked at him as a prisoner that was getting transported to go to be taken to go be seen by who he's going to be seen by. They didn't see him as the man of God that he is. And if you look at verse 11, what does he say? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things that were spoken by Paul. So in other words, he said, Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to believe the master, the captain. I'm going to believe the owner of the ship. And I don't care what you say and what your God tells you. I'm not going to take your warning. I'm going to go ahead and sail this ship anyway. And even though you tell me it can cause us great hurt and much damage and could possibly cost us our lives, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway because you can't tell me what to do. And he sailed the ship. What happens today in church? People hear the Word of God and the Word of God proceeds forth. Instead of listening to what the Word of God says, they say, well, you really don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and take somebody else's advice. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. I'm going to listen to what I hear in my head, and I don't have to listen to you. You can't tell me what to do, Pastor. You're not my boss. And what you fail to realize is that the warning is not coming from me. It's coming from God. And God is trying to tell you, hey, look, this is going to cause you much hurt, much damage. And if you ain't careful, it can cost you your life. And instead of people looking at the hearing the Word of God, like they should have done with Paul, they look at the person and they should have listened that it was coming from God. And when you're in church, guess what? This is not your pastor that speaks to you, but it's the Word of God that goes out. So if you feel convicted, if you feel condemned, if you feel like, hey, he's preaching directly to me, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit that's trying to warn you and tell you, hey, look, wake up, because the road that you're on is going to cause you much hurt and damage, and you will die spiritually if you don't stop doing what you're doing. You're looking at your pastor and what his, and here's what they do. Well, I see a splinter in your eye. You better get your eyes off me. You better listen to what the Word of God says. Okay? Because in the end, I'm going to continue to focus on God. God will remove any splinter I got. But if you're not listening as he's trying to remove the board out of your eye, it's going to cost you much hurt and damage. Look on and see what happened to him. Go on down in verse 18. Same chapter, 27:18. You there? Say amen. It says, and when being exceedingly tossed in the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They went to throwing stuff overboard. The third day they cast out of their own hands the tackling of the ship. And when there was no sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, this is what it says here. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It says, but after the long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. In other words, you should have listened to me. It says, and not loosened from Crete, and gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. It says, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So what did Paul do? They turned around, and if you read the story, they literally took ropes and tied around the ship and tried to hold the ship together. When they couldn't hold it together, eventually they started throwing all the harvest, all the wheat, all the good stuff that they had on the ship. They went to throwing it over. So there went a loss of all their money. They had tried to lighten the ship. After that, what it said it did, they took the tackle. So in other words, all the stuff that they had on there, they said, here, get rid of it. Let's get rid of everything. And in the midst of all that absence, finally Paul stood up, the man of God who was the prisoner of the Lord. He stood up and says, you should have hearkened unto me, and you should have never loosed from Crete. I told you this was going to happen. But instead, you wanted to listen to the centurion and to the master. You wanted to listen to everybody else instead of listening to what the Word of God says. And it was only because of Paul that Paul went off and told him, he says, look, be a good cheer. No man's life, it was like 300, almost 300 people, 280 some. All the people, he says, look, our lives are going to be spared, but the ship is going to be a total loss. And he told him, you should have listened. How many of you in life that you should have listened to the Word of God? You should have listened to that warning. You should have took heed to what was being said. Because guess what happened? Now all of a sudden your ship, you just lost it. And all the financials just got, all the blessings just left. You had to throw them overboard. Everything that your livelihood now is gone. And then now God is telling you, look, wake up, church. Wake up. Why? Because I'm sparing your life right now. You've done lost all your blessings. You done lost everything I've given you. You done crashed your ship and ran it abroad. But I'm sparing your life because the man of God that is on your ship, the same one you didn't want to listen to, is the reason why I am sparing you. You realize that it wasn't just hit that man's actions that affected him. It affected the whole entire 280, almost 300 people. And they all could have died. Everybody on that ship could have died because they didn't listen to the Word of God. And people do that every day in church. They hear the Word of God proceed forth, but then they don't apply it to their life. Because the devil, some falls on stony ground and they didn't even hear the Word of God. They were out in la-la land. It got took. The other ones, they were too busy. I'll serve God until I get persecuted. And then they don't want to serve God because they're too embarrassed to stand up for Jesus. And other ones are so choked out by the Word, I just want to be rich. I just want money, 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 that now they don't have any peace and no joy and no happiness. And the whole entire time, the Word of God has been proceeding forth saying, stop doing what you're doing. The reason why you need encouragement, the reason why you need somebody to lift you up, the reason why you want somebody to tell you something good about yourself is because your life is so full of sin, you have no peace, you have no joy, you have no happiness, and you want somebody else to lift you up, but it ain't going to do no good because as soon as they lift you up, your sins are going to pull you right back down. You're going to have to throw stuff overboard. And guess what? It's not the pastor's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's the people who choose to continue to sin and live a life of sin and live for this world and choose to be disobedient to God is the reason why the bad stuff is happening. You can blame it on everybody else, but the truth of the matter is nobody can force you to continue to keep sinning. You can get mad at the messenger all day like they did Paul. Don't tell us what to do, Paul. What do you say, Captain? I say we sail. What do you say, owner of the ship? We're going to sail. Sit down, Paul. Sit down. Don't tell us what to do. Sit down, Pastor. Sit down. You're not the man of my house. I'm the man of this house. Sit down, Pastor. You can tell whoever you want to talk to, but you're not going to tell me what to do. Do you know how foolish and hard-headed and stubborn and rebellious that is? If you got a man of God that's telling you, hey, look, you're about to crash your ship. What do you think is going to happen? And then guess what? When it happens, then guess who they get mad at? They get mad at the messenger. It's all your fault. That's the reason why my ship... No, it was your fault because you didn't take heed to the storm that was coming to turn around and wipe you out and kill you spiritually. Why do you think people leave the church? It's not because the Word of God didn't proceed forth the same. Everybody in here today, guess what? You've all heard the exact same Word of God. But it's how you chose to receive that Word of God. On stony ground, on a hard heart, or on a heart that's willing to turn around and produce 130 and 60-fold. It's all up to you on how you receive the Word of God. And if you want to be hard-headed and stubborn and rebellious, and you want to fight against God, you're going to lose, man. You are going to lose. It has nothing to do with me. What you need to do is thank God that God places people in your life that will warn you and tell you, hey, this is sin. This is wrong. This will wreck your ship. And people who really love you, Paul tried to save not only his life, but everybody else's life in the whole entire boat. You're in a boat right now, and what you listen to me, church, your actions, when you're a part of Jesus Died For You Ministries, your actions not only affect you, but they affect everybody in this boat. Because when you do something to hurt, guess what? It hurts all of us. When you're hard-headed and stubborn and rebellious and you don't want to listen, guess what? It hurts all of us. When your life is backslid and we have to look at you and see you with the backslid heart and see you in the hurt and the pain and that rebellion, it hurts every last one of us. And if it don't hurt you, then you don't have the Word of God in you. Because when you're a body of Christ, when one of you hurt, every one of you should be hurting. We should all be here for one another. But we should all be here not only just to exhort one another and lift one another up when we're doing good, but also to say, hey, look, your sin is going to cost us to wreck our boat, man. And everybody wants then, now they want, guess what? Now they ran to Paul to fix it. They had to go 14 days fasting with no food. And they got ready to jump over the lifeboats and leave. And Paul said, if you take that lifeboat, everybody in this ship's going to die. You have to stay in. Stay in the ship. Cut the lifeboat. So they cut the lifeboats, let them fall. And they stayed in the ship and listened to the man of God. Isn't it amazing? Had they listened to the man of God, they never would have wrecked the ship to begin with. He said, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me and not lose some crate. And now this great harm and loss would never have happened. And you know what the devil, listen to me, church. The devil deceives people to believe that, guess what? When they suffer the hurt and the loss, that's just normal. That's just normal. That happens to everybody. No, it doesn't happen to everybody. Amen? Let's go over to James. Now go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. And we'll see why people don't want to listen to God. Matthew 13. We'll see why people don't want to listen. Why is it so hard on a pastor? I'm going to show you why it's so hard on me. Matthew 13, verse 14 and 15. Are you there? Say amen. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, by hearing you shall hear and not understand. And seeing you shall see and you shall not perceive. And it says why. It tells you why. For these people's heart has waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, loopy, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. So, loopy, here's the deal. The people that you're preaching to, guess what? There's some that receive on good ground, but there's a lot that ain't, and why? And I'm crying out, why can't they understand? Why don't they see what I'm telling them? Why can't they comprehend? God, please let the church wake up before it's too late and they wreck their ships and they end up with a lot of hurt and pain. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that. It hurts me. It makes me cry. And I'm like, what is the deal, God? And he said, their heart is waxed gross. In other words, their heart is hardened. Their heart is hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has deceived them to believe that they are in the right. Sin has deceived them to make excuses and justify their actions and behaviors, and to the point that as long as they believe they come to church and they do go through the motions, that they're really saved and they're okay, but you're not. It says they are not healed. Their eyes they have closed, their ears are dull of hearing, the eyes they have closed. So in other words, their ears are stopped up and their eyes are closed, and they can hear. Just do this for me. I know this may sound crazy, and you may think I'm nuts, but just I want you to really do this. I want you to put your ears, hands over your ears, just like put every one of you. And now I want you to shut your eyes. Okay? Shut your eyes, and I want you to listen to me as I'm preaching right now. You can hear the Word of God proceeding forth, but do you hear how muffled that is? All right, open them up, take it off. Did you hear the difference when you have it like that? When you hear it and you got your eyes shut, That's what it is when people come to church. So you hear the Word of God. You hear it. You hear it. But did you hear it when I speak like this? Everybody do it again. Do it again. Now, I want you to say, I love the Lord. Did you hear how muffled that sounded? Did you hear that? It sounded real muffled when you say, I love the Lord. It's like you really couldn't hear it like you hear it right now. Now say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Do you see the difference? Sin hardens people's heart and their ears to where they don't really hear the Word. And it deceives them and they can't comprehend it because their heart is hardened with sin. And they say, I went to church, I heard the same thing you heard. But it's how you hear it. If you got sin like this, I love the Lord, it's real muffled. I mean, you really can't hear. It's not, and that's what sin does to people, man. And for a pastor, he's wanting everybody to receive it. He's wanting you to be saved. He's wanting you to feel what he feels. He's wanting you to have the Holy Ghost. He's wanting the church to grow. He's wanting everybody to just be so full of Jesus. I'm about to fall off the stage. I'm so happy. You get it. And when you look around and ain't nobody getting it, you're like, man, what am I doing? And it's hurtful, man. It's hurtful. And the devil deceives people to believe that what you're trying to give them, they receive it as you're attacking them. They receive it as you're against them. They receive it as you don't love them. They receive it as you are trying to belittle them or you think you're better than them. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with, man, the ship is about to wreck, man. You're about to mess it up. And when somebody loves you, they're telling you, please stop driving the ship that way. It's going to crash. Well, you've been telling us it's going to crash for a long time. Dude, don't play with God's grace and mercy. It's going to wreck. Because I'm sure that's what the captain and the owner of the ship, it's bright and sunny, Paul. We're still sailing. Ha, ha, ha. Ain't nothing happened to us. Keep on going. And Paul's like, boy, you don't know what's coming. Yeah, Paul, sit down, prisoner. Sit down. You don't tell us, Mr. Wannabe Holy Man of God. I'm the captain of this ship. But when the storm came, guess what happened? It wiped everything out but their life. And God is telling us, look, don't let the deceitfulness of sin cause you to have dull of hearing and have your eyes. Don't let the riches of this world choke out what God wants to put in you. Don't allow the cares of this world to rob you of having that relationship with God. And don't be ashamed when you have to suffer and be persecuted for serving Jesus. The last passage of Scripture you're all familiar with is James 1:22. The Word of God says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. Did you hear that? Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. In other words, you don't deceive nobody but yourself. The deceitfulness of sin will cause you to continue to do wrong, wreck your ship, and you will deceive yourself into thinking that you are totally okay. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. It don't do no good to come to church and just hear the Word if you're not going to apply it when you leave. So when we leave here today, what did we learn? We learned, how do you receive the Word of God? Do you receive it on stony ground? Does your seed just get cast by the wayside? Or does it get tossed into the thorns where the world chokes it out? Do you listen to the messenger instead of the message? Do you allow the devil to deceive you to believe that your ship is going to be okay when it's fixing to crash? And do you just come to hear the Word of God and not apply it when you leave? Or are you the one that when you receive the Word, you receive it on good ground, and you hear the Word, you understand the Word, and it bear fruit, some forth 100, some 60, some 30. So when you leave, if you're not being a fruitful, what happens to somebody that doesn't produce fruit? You get chopped down. and you get cast into the fire. Eventually, if you don't produce fruit, church, you're gonna get cut off. You're gonna get cut off. God is tired of dealing with lazy, slothful people who don't want to do anything for Him, but expects Him to do everything for them. Every one of you, when you leave here, you need to be a minister for the Lord, and you need to change the way your lifestyle, and you need to say, you know what? I want to bring God honor, not shame. And if you've already messed your testimony up, and you've already done wrong, and you've just put your foot all in it, and you've really messed it up, then you be a man or a woman of God that goes back and cleans that mess up. And you tell people, hey, you know what? I have failed God. I have failed my pastor. I have failed my church. I have failed my family. I have not represented Jesus the way I should have. I have allowed myself to partake in conversations and been around things I shouldn't have been. I am sorry, and you will not see that from me no more. I've repented, and now I'm repenting to you. And you suffer that persecution and that tribulation. You messed it up, now you go back and make it right. You want the curse to be off of you, you go make your wrongs right, and you turn around and tell God, I'm sorry. I will not be ashamed of you no more. I will do what you tell me to do. And if everybody leaves me, everybody forsakes me, I know you're still right there with me every step of the way. I'm going to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. It's up to you on how your ship is going to sail. It can either sail with God, or you can run that sucker into the bank and tear it all up and lose everything but your life. And in the end, you'll suffer great loss. You can blame Paul all day long, but guess what? It was Paul that helped them to get to the shore. They were going to kill every one of those prisoners. And because of Paul was a prisoner, they said, no, everybody swim to the shore, and those that can't swim, swim on the wood planks. And they all made it to shore because of Paul. They never would have had to wreck in the first place had they listened to the Word of God. So you leave here today, don't look at the messenger, listen to the message. I'm not driving your ship, you are. But if I tell you the storm is coming and you better change and you better stop sinning and stop doing what you're doing, then you better take heed to it. Because if you don't, it's only a matter for the sunshine's going to disappear and the storm is going to come, and then you got to pay for what you turned around and done. And when you're messing up your testimony with God and you're sitting up in this church on these pews and you're representing Jesus, and then you go out in that world and you represent the world, I'm telling you now, that is a dangerous... How would you feel if your pastor done that? Seriously. How would you feel if I was sitting up here, but then on this weekend I'm at the club turning around and having mixed drinks and dancing with a bunch of women and then come preach? What would you think about me? How is it any different than me than you? And when you look at your own life like that and you say, you know what, if I had to be the one to get up and preach on Sunday, would I still partake of what I'm doing on Friday and Saturday? Would I still partake of what I'm doing during the week if I had to get up there and preach on Sunday? You should hold yourself to a standard that God is going to look at you and say, you know what, good and well done, my faithful son, my faithful daughter. Don't bring shame to Jesus. Amen. So, find out where your seed is. If you're letting the devil steal it because your mind's all over, stop it. If you suffer persecution, go clean it all up and make it right and say, hey, I failed God. I need to change this up. I ain't going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. If you are allowing the riches of this world to get you, you can't serve God that way. You make yourself an enemy of God. If you're looking at the messenger instead of the message, you're going to crash your ship and it's going to be your own fault. And if you're just coming to church and you're not hearing the Word of God, I mean, you're hearing it but not doing it, then you deceived yourself. You have to turn around and put it on good ground, bear fruit that brings forth 100, 60, and 30. Amen? You got it? That was a bomb service, wasn't it? Let's all stand. God knows what we need when we need it, huh? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Heavenly Father, just to be with us as we leave here today. Help us to examine our life. And God, let us see that we're the one that drives our ship. And it's up to us, God. We can either drive it on smooth sailing waters and be peace, or we can continue to live a life of disobedience and rebellion. And God, we can choose to not hear the word of God and not apply it to our life and crash it right into the bank. God, help us, Heavenly Father, to be people who want to hear the word of God and receive it, who want to accept the correction and move forward. And God, who help us to get our lives to where we're not having to steady ask for repentance every day from you, but we're able to go and help others to find out what repentance is and lead them to Jesus so we can produce 160 and 30-fold. Help us to be workers for the Lord, dear God, so we are doing a work for you instead of steady having to be asking for forgiveness. God, we ask as we leave here today, help us, Heavenly Father, to examine our lives and be able to say, dear God, that we love you and we don't want to bring you shame. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your blessings. In Jesus' mighty name, be with everyone. Amen and amen.